I'd like to share with you today, along the title, Hoping Skills. We all have coping skills, and sometimes we need to learn new coping skills based on whatever it is that we find we need to cope with. Counselors often talk about coping skills and how we need to learn those things. Well, we also need to learn faith as well. And I'm calling faith this morning, I'm calling faith our hoping skills. Are you with me on that? Let's talk about hoping skills. And I think that this reading from the book of Revelation gives us some genuine, grace-filled hoping skills. Now, a lot of you say, Revelation? We're going to read from the book of Revelation. Well, yeah, there's some scary stuff in there, but there is way more good and hopeful stuff there as well. Some of the scary stuff can be learned from. But I love some of the encouraging words, some of the words of deep, rich, and abiding faith that are found in Revelations. In fact, several parts of our funeral liturgy come from Revelation. And those are words of hope, words of eternal life. They're not words of doom and gloom. So, I'd like to read from Revelation 7, if you would like to follow along, beginning with the 9th verse. Revelation 7, 9 through 17. It's the last book in the Bible, if you hadn't figured that out. All the way, start at the right. And find the 7th chapter, Revelation 7, 9 through 17. And listen to these words for the word of the Lord. After this, I looked, and there was a great crowd that no one could number. And they were from every nation, every tribe, people, and language. They were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They wore white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they cried out with a loud voice, "Victory belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood in a circle around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell face down before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and always. Amen." Then one of the elders said to me, "Who are these people wearing white robes, and where did they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And then he said to me, "These people have come out of the great hardship. They have washed their robes and made them white in the Lamb's blood. This is the reason that they are now before God's throne. They worshiped Him day and night in this temple, and the one seated on the throne will shelter them. They won't hunger or thirst anymore, nor sun or scorching heat will beat down upon them, because the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them. He will lead them to springs of living water, life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Perhaps the best part, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Doesn't that sound good? There are those who were in the white robes. They were the ones who had come through the great ordeal, which is living life on earth with all its challenges and all of its wounds. It was a crowd of people, saints of the church. They're not by their own merit, but they're because they were washed in the blood of Christ. They're because they were redeemed by a perfect Redeemer not that they were perfect, but that they were redeemed and made whole by a perfect one. It's pretty good coping skills to find yourself at the foot of the cross and to pray to God for help and for hope, to pray to this one. Though sometimes we may fear God, I think we talk about fearing God, and we don't really mean be afraid of God. We use the word fear to talk about respect and awe of God. When you say fear God, maybe there are some reasons that we might have to fear God if we have completely rejected Him. But Christian people are called to fear God, to honor God, and to respect God. To recognize that God's gift is a gift of life. And it's a gift of new life. Because these people that were gathered around the throne were in their second life. They were in their eternal life. They were in heaven with God. And they, though sometimes our earthly sentences can seem impossible, they were finding their wholeness in God, the resurrected one, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That is hope that will last. We can have that hope now in a resurrected and living Lord whose presence is felt and is alive in the church. It is alive when a new baby is born. It's alive when youth group members gather to honor those who have helped to serve them. Life, eternal life, is filled when we share with one another, when we help one another, and when we give away food like we did at the Food Pantry Express this week, when we greet people with a wholesome and warm witness of Christ. We may not just talk about Jesus or faith, but we may just greet them with the hope that comes from walking into the doors of the church where Christ's people dwell. Coping skills come from every direction. But being one of these sheep who follow this master, we can follow the words that are recorded in John, where the author says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never die, and no one will snatch them from my hand." Jesus is speaking now, and he says, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The confidence that we can have in those words is a coping skill for life. And I tell you, it is also a hoping skill. And as I say that, I want to tell you that hoping in this sense is not like we might hope for a beautiful day tomorrow or hope for the rain to stop or start, depending on your context. Those kinds of uses of the word hope should be more likely expressed with the word wish. I wish it would stop raining, because those are wishing things. The word hoping is oh so much stronger. The word hoping expresses the eternal confidence that we have, the hope that we have. That's Christian hope. The hope that we have in God through Jesus Christ, that God is the one who will wipe all our sorrows away and take away our challenges and bring us into a beautiful, unimaginable life with Him after we die and are raised again. That is hoping skill right there. That is hope that will last. As we cope and hope in this life, we put our hope and our faith in Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. He is the one who said, "My sheep listen to my voice." There is a hoping skill. He said, "My sheep follow me." Now, Pretty often in the church, we talk a lot about leading others. But before you can lead anybody anywhere, you have to be a follower of Jesus. And for that following, Jesus says, I will give them eternal life, and they will never die, and no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. God is the one with the power, and we too can make the same claim that God is one among us, especially and most beautifully when we are together, when we're gathered in worship. We and the Father are one, and God alone is the one with the power to wipe away every tear from our eyes, to promise His presence in every great trial of living. So be it. Amen.